We, of course, have brought back here a Democrat of the day. Today, we are going into the Minnesota governor's race. One of the candidates running for the DFL nomination is Rebecca Otto, and she is kind enough to join us today to talk about how her campaign is going so far. State Auditor, how are you today?
I am fantastic. It's warm outside, and we've got some blue sky. No, this is what we wait for, right? All winter long. We've got this beautiful warm weather. My AC is not on because I don't have any.
Well, you are lucky. It is amazing how it does take just a few hours between the heat and the AC, making sure that's ready to go. I imagine you are definitely loving this weather because you have been just everywhere in the state. Where are you at right now, if I can ask?
Oh God. I am sitting in a parking lot in the metro area,
okay.
in between, because I have my day job and, anyway, and so I'm still doing that as well as traveling. And this weekend was mostly metro area, if I recall correctly. But yeah, it really, these campaigns take you all over the state. And when you're the candidate, they drag you around and you do a good job every time you go out and you know what I mean? So it's been busy, but it's really going really, really well.
You know, it's the Wellstone mentality. It is the idea of getting out and getting into the communities and going out there, because I think that they're, once people get to see, especially for DFL candidates, when it goes statewide, I mean, there's a lot of negativity. I mean, a lot of small town papers, small town radio stations have a definitive conservative tilt to them. So all of a sudden, when someone like yourself shows up and you're at the Legion Hall or you're at the parade and you're there and you're willing to sit down and talk with people, it really does a tremendous amount to show people that the narrative they might have heard about the DFL in outstate is definitively not the reality of it all.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that having served now for almost 12 years statewide and working with local officials around the state, including township supervisors, fire chiefs, volunteer firefighters, the list goes on and on. They know me, I know them. And I'll tell you what, we all want a roof over our head, food on our table, and our health. And that doesn't, you know, that those these are basic, these basic fundamental pieces that we all need regardless of geography or party. And, you know, some of our rural communities are struggling. And the Republicans have this whole big narrative around, you know, Democrats don't care about the people in the rural areas. We absolutely do. Yeah. That's why my campaign is going so darn well, because it's a bread and butter agenda. Bread and butter agenda is, you know, that's something that we all need. We need economic opportunity. We need to keep that roof over our head, food on our table. And then finally, health, and healthcare is one of the, again, doesn't matter where you live. We're all struggling with trying to make sure we can keep healthcare, that it's affordable. And it's a constant moving target. And that's why I've got a plan to get to single payer healthcare. And it doesn't have to be my plan. It's whatever plan we can get done. But lives depend on us getting the insurance companies out of the way, making sure everybody's covered, that it's not tied to your job anymore. I mean, yeah. It's being done around the world and having better outcomes and lower costs. So that's resonating everywhere. Because we all struggle with it, you know, and it shouldn't be a struggle.
No, and once again, your point about not tying this to your employment, that's something the rest of the world has kind of figured out. That's a really bad way to deliver the system, and especially in the day and age when people don't work. My grandfather worked for 50 years for Ford and got the gold watch in the retirement party, but that was about the last time anyone did. I mean, people just, they move around jobs, and having a healthcare system which is contingent on the employee-employer relationship is really actually a bad delivery system.
It really is. And I don't think that until we get away from it, people can be like, oh my gosh, did we really used to do that? But if you could imagine having freedom from fear of losing your healthcare, and if you're in a union, can you imagine like not having to negotiate around healthcare, just wages and benefits? Let's get that thing off the table. And then we get to make better life decisions. So you don't have to stay in a job that you don't like because you're doing it just for your healthcare. You don't have to keep working. You can retire when it's appropriate because, you know, people are still in working because they're like, I can't give up my healthcare. It's not sustainable. It's not affordable. It's fragmented, inefficient. And frankly, there are people making money off of our health, like, you know, insurance companies. That's got to stop. Mm-hmm. So we've got a pathway to do this thing. And you know what else? We'll unleash the innovators, people who've stayed in jobs just because they have to. Let's let them do something they want to do. Remove that healthcare barrier. People will start starting businesses. We're going to attract the innovators so we can attract industry. If we have to do this alone as a state and move to single-payer healthcare, alone, well, so be it, but we're going to have a lot of industry locating here. So it's all about improving people's lives, and our Healthy Minnesota plan is going over quite well statewide.
Rebecca Otto joining us, one of the candidates running for the DFL nomination for governor in the state of Minnesota, Democrat of the day. Let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned briefly earlier, in that we have to look at, you know, the future. We cannot wallow in the kind of past. We have to look at jobs and creating opportunity for that is more future-based. When you're looking at the governor's position, we've got a federal government right now that's run by a bunch of clowns that want to go back to the days of coal and you know, strip mining and stuff like this. You might as well go back to Big Horseshoe at the time, if you want to know the truth. The reality is we're going to need a state leader that's going to be able to just kind of thumb their nose at whatever the Republicans and the federal government are pushing forward, and pushing forward for the idea that's I'm going to set up for you, the 15-5-2 plan that you've got on your website here. It's not only a minimum wage increase, but it's that 2 years of free college, I think, is an incredibly important element that's going to really bring, especially in rural communities where there is not as much opportunity, bring Minnesota into that 21st century, into the 22nd century as well, as far as potential employment and work opportunities.
You are so, like, you hit the nail right on the head there. So we need the workforce of the 21st century, and we need the jobs of the 21st century, not the 19th century, not the 20th century, 21st century. And the thing is that's the governor's job, to be the visionary, not to rest in our laurels, the visionary. Work is getting outsourced, automated, and they're chasing cheaper labor. So what's next for Minnesota? And what I say is next is first, give everybody a quality of opportunity, 2 years tuition free, vocational, community college, or state university in the Minnesota state system. So, and we can train the workers of the 21st century and tell our employers we're going to have the workforce of the 21st century. It's good for all of us. We all win. But the other piece is coal is 19th century. 21st century is clean energy. So I got a plan to get us to a place where we can create 250,000 good paying jobs that can be unionized, that support families, and that are 21st century jobs. Those can be ours, and we don't have to raise taxes to do it. So that's what I'm running on. Workforce of the 21st century, jobs of the 21st century. And then where are you going to want to live as a young person? In a state that's smart and forward thinking, or in a state that's not? We've got to be smart and forward thinking. And that's the job of the governor candidate. And we've got an exciting vision that Minnesotans helped build. We've empowered Minnesotans to take their government back in the tradition of Paul Wellstone, and to make sure that we are truly improving people's lives, not just the bottom line of big industry.
Well, I mean, the way the Republicans are going, we're going to get back to making sales before too much longer, and mast work and horse and carriages, because that's where their future lies. But for us, we have to start looking at this in that kind of the real world, because there are countries where this is where they're going. They're already anticipating this and driving their entire educational system towards that point of the future economy.
Absolutely. And you know what? The financial markets are already responding, and some people are going to be left behind. So, for instance, people are like, oh, electric vehicles, pie in the sky. Oh, no, not pie in the sky. The car companies are all pumping them out. They're all changing. If you talk to financial experts, they'll tell you that the 19th and 20th century technology around, you know, coal and oil, everything's changing. And in it, the reason is because the price point is right. Big wind is cheaper than coal. Big solar is becoming cheaper than coal. And I've got an electric vehicle. You can lower your living costs by not having to put gas into your car all the time, not having to change the oil as much. And the infrastructure is going in around the state. This is not a new concept. My husband can drive all over the state in his pure electric vehicle and around the country. Infrastructure is here. So, and we can help Minnesotans and empower them to lower their utility costs, whether they are in an apartment building or in a single family home. So for me, it's all about hope, optimism, improving people's lives, lowering living costs, healing the planet, improving health outcomes. Who would reject that?
Well, I mean, and you've always championed, and one of the things I love about you is you champion the solar energy. I just reading a great article. It was actually some of the new solar panels they've created are actually the most cost efficient form of energy you can have, period, which is a really big sign. And that's, you know, that's just common sense. I mean, we can't just keep burning fossil fuels. Nuclear is probably not the you know, a great option either on some levels. But solar, guess what? I mean, pretty much everyone can use it. And in some communities, in some states, in some countries, the solar power has basically been able to offset their entire carbon footprint.
Well, and there's even a small town in Texas that is very Republican. But they get it. They've harnessed the clean energy economy, and they're living the dream. I'm telling you, it's not a partisan issue. This is about our future. and this is about protecting our climate, and this is economic based. Like, this is the financial markets get it, Wall Street gets it. So Minnesota, let's not lose out on that opportunity. Mm-hmm. We should be on the cutting edge of the clean energy economy. We should be doing the research and development, finding the new opportunities, reducing costs, exporting our products. We should be manufacturing and exporting our products and our people and expertise. So that's a vision I have. And it's not the only thing, but it will transform what we are doing. It'll provide opportunity across the state.
You've been out traveling across the state. Rebecca Otto, once again, joining us, one of the candidates running for the DFL nomination for governor. I want to bring up a current topic here, which I imagine is going to start resonating and resonating hard in the farming communities of the state. The story was that China right now, because of this trade spat that they're having with Trump, has basically stopped ordering American-based soybean product, whether that's soybean oil, soybeans themselves. And they're actually looking towards Argentina, Brazil as their main suppliers, even India to a point. Obviously, this is something I know a lot of rural Minnesota went for Trump, but I don't believe they went for Trump thinking they were going to put their farms out of business. Talk a little bit about that, because I imagine there are ripples that are starting to get out there that if the Chinese market goes away, especially for our soybean product and sorghum as well, that this is going to, you know, this is going to be a concern, because where is that emerging market that will then take the product?
Well, so you know what? So what's interesting is, and it's really sad, frankly, is that this is being layered upon stress that's already happening in our farm communities and for our family farmers. So a couple of years ago, there were some cash flow issues for our farmers generally, which put stress on. And it's because of a variety of factors. This last year, we had commodity price issues, layering that on top of cash flow issues. So we have a lot of family farmers who are hurting, who, frankly, we've had some suicides in our farm community. So as Minnesotans, we have to care about our farmers because they do grow our food. And this is just going to layer another bad thing on top of the stress they're already experiencing. So I don't know that they're going to be voting for Donald Trump again. And they'll, you know, he made a lot of promises that he never intended to keep. And Minnesotans they're smart. They might be nice, but they're smart. And I don't think they're going to do the same thing twice. So right now, what we need to do is make sure that we're there for our farmers in every way. I serve on the Rural Finance Authority Board. There's some really good efforts going on right now with hotlines for our farmers if they are in crisis. We have other programs where we're trying to shore them up and save them. But the stress is real. Mm-hmm. And what's really unfortunate is Donald Trump doesn't understand that these are people's lives and their living and their ability to be prosperous that he's putting on the line with his, I can't even describe what he's doing. But anyway, he's in a powerful position, and he's creating a lot of havoc for a lot of people. So at the end of the day, as governor for myself, one of the things I want to do for our farmers is not make them try to engage in the insurance industry anymore, trying to get healthier for their families. I want our farmers to be able to focus on farming, not have to go off farm for insurance, you know, for all kinds of things. So we want to make sure we're supporting family farmers, that we, because they are small business and they're part of strong local economies, and make sure they can be competitive. Some things need to happen at the federal level for them around crop insurance for our smaller family farms, because everything's about big ag, and we got to change that direction. But anyway, long and the short of it, there's issues out there right now, and we need to support our farmers.
And I'll tell you what it is. It's a monopoly. Trump's got a monopoly board game version of trade. He doesn't understand the concepts and the intricacies of it. And, his stupidity and bravado are going to end up, I think, costing us in the long run. That's for sure. So I think, obviously, there's a lot we can do there to try to help offset the farming industry. But I want to get one final question to you here in regards to, we saw you at the Blue State Ball. We also had you on the air back when there were six candidates. Back, I think it was late November, early December, we had you on the air. Since that time, what issue, since the last time we talked to you, what issue has come to mind that was not on your agenda, but now has realized, you know what, this has got to be part of my main goal at this point?
Well, you know what? So we've kind of been rolling out this Renew Minnesota agenda. We have one coming really soon on local economies, local communities and the strength of our communities. And it's going to address a whole bunch of issues. So it's not that it's not been on the table. It's on the table. We haven't released it. There's another one coming on education. But what I would say is that single payer healthcare, the fight for $15 an hour, 2 years tuition free, going after climate change in a really aggressive way while creating good jobs, hits so many different notes for people, and it's the right agenda. But we also have to make sure that we are getting at the racial injustice issues that we have, and the lack of economic opportunity for all Minnesotans, overhauling the criminal justice system. So there's a, Matt, you shouldn't have asked me the question because it's a long answer. But with Pawlenty, with, we've had plenty of Tim Pawlenty. That's what's come up since then, probably. And we don't need his Wall Street, D.C. kind of politics in our state and the politics of unfettered greed. We got to focus on the common good. And so that has reinvigorated the conversation, and everyone understands the importance of 2018.
Absolutely. And yeah, it is going to be interesting. I'm actually have some doubts whether or not he'll even make it out of the Republican primary, if you want to know the truth. This is the point where I want to drive you to go help out. I mean, if once again, we have a primary that's going to go on, Tim Walz, Aaron Murphy, Rebecca Otto, you know, find out about the candidates. If you go to Rebecca Otto's site, you can find out about her issues. RebeccaOtto.com, RebeccaOtto.com. I'll link to everything later on. She has her issues there. You can donate, you can volunteer, and you can endorse Rebecca Otto at her website. And once again, it's a great time to volunteer because, as you mentioned, the weather's a lot nicer out, so door knocking is a lot more pleasant.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's all kinds of fun things you can do on a campaign.
Absolutely. Rebecca Otto, thank you very much. I know you're very busy. Thank you so much for the time. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. Rebecca Otto is the DFL, one of the DFL candidates running for the endorsement to be governor of the state of Minnesota. She's kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day for your Monday. Well, let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.